takes a lot to sing like that. Amen. Takes a lot out of you. Amen. Praise God. It took a lot out of me just watching. Amen. So we know, amen, that that is a gift in the house, and we appreciate it. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 20 through 32, this message is a pivotal one that we're ministering on today, dealing with the time and season that we're in. I want to start with a short anecdote, a little short story entitled Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There were four church members named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. That was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody, and nobody did what anybody could have done. Author unknown. It was the great philosopher and statesman Edmund Burke who stated, "All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing." To make it plain, in order for evil to prevail, good people must do nothing. Truly, this is a time and season that we are in. As we look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 20 through 32, the scripture reads, "Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, 'Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel.' David asked the men standing near him, 'What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?' They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, 'This is what will be done for the man who kills him.' When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, 'Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle.' 'Now what have I done?' said David." The King James Version for that same verse what says, "Is there not a cause? Can I even speak? How then turned away? He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, 'Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him.' Saul replied, 'You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine.' Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. When we look at this particular text, there's a number of things that we see. We see that there is an insurmountable obstacle in the giant Goliath. And many times when we look at life, there seems to be some things that are much too large for us to handle. I want us to know today that we are facing some insurmountable obstacles in our society today. One of those is based on the decision that our Supreme Court made on June the 26th, 2015. This particular court was won over by a 5-4 vote that said that same-sex marriage is now legal in the United States of America. And when we look at ourselves, many of us can say, what can we do about this? We're so small. We're in a small city. We're not going to be listened to. We don't live in Washington. But I want to tell you today that when God's people get together and pray and are fervent about what the enemy has done, they have more power than they know. I want to look first of all of what the biblical understanding of marriage is. The Holman Bible Dictionary says that the biblical standard for marriage is a monogamous relationship in which a man and a woman share a lifetime commitment to each other, second only to their commitment to God. Funny enough, in a secular dictionary, Merriam-Webster, the definition is the relationship that exists between a husband and a wife, a similar relationship between people of the same sex, a ceremony in which two people are married. I want you to know that once God makes a definition for something, it's not for man to go around and change it. You have what's known as unjust laws. An unjust law are laws that go against a type of higher law or ethical system. Generally, unjust laws are understood to be laws that violate natural law or another system higher than the law of a particular society. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 25, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will surely die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman. The Lord God made a woman. Everybody say, the Lord God made a woman. The Lord God made a what? The Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man. Everybody say, he brought her to the man. Say, he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. We're living in a day, brothers and sisters, to where the devil is busy about what he's doing. Not only do you have a Goliath in our nation today, there are different aspects that will come against us that represent Goliath. When I look at Goliath and the Philistine army in this particular passage of scripture, what I see is Satan and the forces of evil. When I look at David and the armies of Israel, or the armies of the Lord, what I see is individual Christians and the church. So the battle lines have been drawn between the individual Christian, David, and the armies of the Lord, which represent the church. But the question is, are we going to allow Goliath and Satan to win, or are we going to stand up like David and say, is there not a cause? I want to say today that there is a cause. Because if we do not stand up now in this season and time, we're going to see the fabric of the family be destroyed. Because last time I checked, even by natural law, two men cannot produce a child. Two women cannot produce a child. So for the Supreme Court to make a decision that say that marriage is going to be established between two men or two women is an all-out slap in the face of God concerning what he has established for marriage to be. So when we look at future generations, and our children growing up having to be exposed to that, that brings about confusion. I don't want my child to have to look and say, Daddy, what is that? Is that a family? When God has already defined what family is. Family is one man and one woman. And that's important. Because that's going to come a day in our area where we live at. It's not as big of a deal, but there's a big deal in your bigger cities. 21 of those states had already approved same-sex marriage before the Supreme Court did it. And I want you to know that many of these things are taking place because the church is silent. Because the church is acting like Eliab and Abinadab and Shammah and the rest of the Israel armies when David is saying, is there not a cause? So I have to ask the question, as believers, are we going to be silent? Or are we going to say, is there not a cause? What can we be doing in this fight against the Goliath? As I look here and I study the scriptures, I find that in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, the scripture says, do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. That is an abomination, King James, detestable, NIV. Romans chapter 1, verse 26 through 27. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Homosexuality is a shameful act, not because because I said it, not because we're judging anybody, but because God said it, because the Bible said it. It is a shameful act. Do we love the homosexual? Yes. The homosexual is no different than the fornicator. The homosexual is no different than somebody shacking up. The homosexual is no different than an idolater. The homosexual is no different than a liar or a thief. But the truth of the matter is, it is shameful. And even though the Supreme Court acknowledges it, God does not acknowledge it. In 2 Chronicles,